Hello, I'm Sarah Taylor, and for the next hour in Notes from Kampala, I'll be telling you the story of how one woman's visit to hear the choir sing at Namirembe Cathedral back in the 1990s led to an appeal for unwanted pianos in the United Kingdom to be sent to Uganda. More than 80 pianos later, Kampala Music School was born. The school has gone from strength to strength and is at the heart of the regeneration of classical music in Uganda. I've just walked down a long, dusty brown road, riddled with potholes 4 metres long and 3 metres wide. At the end, a brown metal gate, decorated with the symbol of a trumpet intertwined with a treble clef, marks the entrance to Kampala Music School. It's a three-storey house painted orange, with a sweeping driveway up to the front steps. The windows are open, and even from this distance, I can hear students practising their instruments.
My name is Paul Ujo, and I'm head of keyboard here at Kampala Music School. Welcome! This is the action taking place here throughout the week and throughout the year. So please welcome, come in.
I can already hear that the house is just literally full of music.
Okay, let's go up the stairs here and try to see what's happening in some of the rooms here.
I've come to spend some time at the Kampala Music School here in Uganda, and Paul Lugia, the head of keyboards, is showing me around the building, where each door opens onto someone hard at work in their practice room. So we're outside a room, it's labelled M2, voice. So this is who's this booked out to, do you think?
This is, there's a group called Sauchia Africa, who are basically a group of guys who have been with chemists, who are some of them teachers themselves.
Tell you what, if they're in the middle of it, let's not disturb them. Paul and his fellow teachers and students have been in their new premises for just over a year. They outgrew their previous building, the basement of an overcrowded YMCA. Now, the school is in a large three-storey house painted orange, and its doors are open Monday to Saturday from 9 in the morning till 9 at night to teach music to anyone who wants to learn how to sing, play the piano, violin, clarinet, and even jazz guitar. So this is the first floor, then there's another floor.
Yes, we're moving on to the next level of the school. Where we have more practice rooms and even more pianos here. So let's have a look at the next one here is what is called the brass room. This is where mainly the brass instruments come to do their practice. And as you can see, it's a little bit away from the others because of the nature of these instruments making a very loud sound. So they're very well suited up here. So this is the one they use to practice, but it still also has got a piano to it. So,
and the piano is a very old Broadwood piano. Can I just have a... quite good condition, isn't it?
It is. I mean, compared to other pianos that we may find here, this definitely is one in good condition, and I think it's going to be for quite some long time before, I mean, it sees out its days. Definitely a lot of music making has got to be made here, so we're just grateful that we have a good instrument like this.
I mean, looking at this piano, I'm trying to gauge the age of it, but what do you think, Paul? I think it must be at least 80 years old. What do you think?
Well, at least, yeah, quite right. Probably could be more, so... Could be 80 or probably even more years. But because pianos can last for quite a long time if they're cared for very well, and which I'm sure we're doing here, they can even last a lot longer than that.
I wonder if Broad would ever... thought that their piano would end up in Uganda.
Absolutely, not even in their wildest dreams they would think of that. So fortunately we have it here and we are putting it to very good use.
The music school is now the official Ugandan centre, where students can take the internationally recognised Associated Board Royal School of Music exams from the starter grades right up to grade 8 and diploma level. It's hard to believe this has all happened in less than 20 years, when you consider that there were very few pianos left in Uganda after the war years of Idi Amin.
I had trained as a musician at the Royal Academy of Music and had taught in all the countries we'd been in, and I made a conscious decision this time to really try and help Ugandan music get back on its feet again after 20 years of war with Idi Amin in charge.
Fiona Carr is a piano teacher, and when her husband Graham was working as an accountant in Kampala in 1995, she went looking for piano pupils. Throughout the difficult years, music had continued at Namarembe Cathedral in Kampala. The organ was in reasonable condition and the choir was in good voice.
So we went up there for a service, and one of the keyboard players was playing How Lovely Are Thy Dwellings without any music. And I was impressed by this, and I went up and said, "Have you ever had a piano lesson?" And he said, "No, I'm praying for a piano teacher." So I said, "Well, you may find your prayer has been answered. We need to get my piano here. It's at the moment somewhere between Mombasa and Kampala, and then we'll get started." So the word went out that there was a sucker up on Makindi Hill who was teaching piano free, and they tried to keep it a bit of a secret because they didn't want me to have so many that I was turning people away, but they crept up and gradually built up a clientele of pianists.
While she was back here, I went to her in 1998, because previously my younger brother Ivan Chiwowa had actually gotten lessons from her, and obviously I knew immediately that there was something magical happening, or he was getting from this teacher, and I thought I could actually benefit as well. And well, I can say the rest is history now.
Paul Lugia, now head of keyboards at Kampala Music School and the organist at Namarembe Cathedral, was one of Fiona's first pupils, who took turns with the other choristers at practising on the rickety old piano at the cathedral.
Because we were 10, 15 boys who had to practice on the piano, but all that had to happen during school time, so we would find ways of how actually we would find this time to practice but still also be able to attend school. Fortunately enough, my school was near the cathedral, so what I used to do was to get up very, very early in the morning, say 4 o'clock in the night, and I mean that real. We have to be at school at 7, so we knew that somehow you have to, even if you find 10 minutes just to touch the piano, play a few keys, maybe that's better than nothing.
Used to go to her house once a week for lessons for 1 hour.
Francis Mutisasira, now head of voice at Kampala Music School, was also one of Fiona's piano pupils, and he began lessons with her when he was 12 years old.
She used to teach us for free, so we had to look for transport. When you ran out of transport, you would just walk up the hill.
And when you say you run out of transport, is it that the transport wasn't there, or is it that you'd run out of money to pay for the transport?
Ran out of money to pay for the transport. It would happen a few times where you'd run out of transport and, you know, just have to walk. So, of course, you'd plan in advance, 2 hours in advance, and then move.
I've just walked an hour, and frankly, I'm exhausted. It's so hot. What was it about what you were getting from Fiona and those lessons that made you want to persevere?
Initially, I wanted to be the cathedral organist.
We used to go up to the cathedral because we had a choir room there, and in this choir room, it had to be locked up every night. But what we would do, we would pretend that we've locked up the windows, and when we just close it without actually putting the locks on and move out. So when they locked the door, they used to think that actually they had locked the whole place. So, but later on, after they've locked, we would climb back in. And sometimes this would happen when there was no electricity and it was completely dark. But as long as you could get onto that piano, we tried everything we could to play even in the darkness.
I only discovered that this was how they were practicing. Not the best, but it got things going.
A few times you would get there and find like at least five of your colleagues are already there, which meant that you had to wait patiently, at least hoping that by the time you are going to school, perhaps you will get maybe 5 minutes to go through something.
Should give you about 3 pieces a week, which is crazy, so you'd had to get time to practice because we are competing for one piano. So the earlier you make it, the better for you.
Sometimes I would skip lunch. Actually, that used to happen most times. And I would sneak up to the choir room because the school was near the cathedral. And I would play a little bit there. But a few times you would get there frustrated, finding someone was already there. You only knew you had just a few minutes.
And you didn't want to miss her classes because she was very fond of teaching us. Most of we're not paying, so you didn't want to disappoint her. So they always find a way of getting there in time.
I think what really drove us was the real eagerness to learn. And if I fail today or even tomorrow, I just simply never gave up. I just kept trying and trying.
My original goal was to, in our 10 years that I visualized us being there, and we were there 10 years, to leave half a dozen grade eights. But in fact, the half a dozen grade eights emerged within about 3 years.
To cope with the enthusiasm of her pupils, Fiona launched the Pianos for Uganda scheme. Articles appeared in the British music magazine Libretto, asking schools and music colleges if they had any pianos which they could donate to be used by Ugandan piano pupils.
And we started bringing in pianos which people in UK donated, and we air freighted them across. A very kind airline gave us charity rates, and they wrapped two pianos together so that they went as one item. And we brought in, overall, over 80 pianos. And we started placing them in churches and schools. Some went quite far up country. And eventually, wherever we had got a trained pianist who'd got as far as grade eight or more, we would put a piano. So they went quite far out of Kampala with the pianos. If students had got good without pianos, you can imagine what they got with pianos, and there was no holding it back.
In 2001, Fiona opened the music school in its first premises, a converted basement at the local YMCA.
And the whole thing just rolled on, and there came a time when we couldn't go back. We kept the last seven pianos that had come in, good pianos, ready for the day the music school opened, and huge excitement when they were rounded up on the back of a pickup truck. And another very big bonus was that Nairobi Conservatoire, Kenya Conservatoire, had sent, in fact, a Ugandan to Germany to train as a piano tuner. So he was able to come back and live in Uganda because we gave him enough work to do. So he rounded up the pianos and got them all. And there was an exciting moment when two people in next door rooms played to see if the soundproofing of egg boxes and egg trays had worked, and it did. Yes, so they were able to play in next door rooms.
Father and mother were actually met in through choral singing, so we were born into a musical home.
Chikundi Frederick Mukuzi is a former piano pupil of Fiona's. His parents named him Frederick after the composer, George Friedrich Handel.
My earliest recollection of music playing was listening to a Boney M. tape and pretending to play the trumpet, all the drums and all sorts of things. Because my mum would thought maybe he could start on the piano. My father thought I was too young, but started me off anyway.
How old were you?
I was about the age of 3. Yeah.
That is pretty young. So they found you a teacher when you were 3?
Well, my dad was my first teacher.
When did you first hear about Fiona?
I first heard about Fiona probably in 1997, just when I was joining university. She'd already been here a couple of years. She came up to me after a Kampala Singers concert, because I was accompanying the Kampala Singers at the time. And she offered me lessons and said, you know, if you ever want lessons, please come up to me on Makindi Hill. So Mum offered to pay whatever it would cost. And Fiona said, no, I'm not going to charge you anything. It's like, really? And it's like, yeah.
Fred passed his piano diplomas with Fiona as his teacher. He went on to become head of keyboards at Kampala Music School and took over as director of music last year when the school moved into its new premises. Among his many roles, he now conducts the Kampala singers who rehearse at the school. A surprising career choice for Fred, given that he studied civil engineering at university.
It was a difficult one to make because, you know, often you get pressure from a lot of people saying, you know, you've spent all your years studying to become an engineer and your parents spent a lot of money on your education. But also, again, it was an exciting time, especially with the Pianos for Uganda project, and having been one of the benefactors of that and Fiona Carr as a teacher, I could see what her work was doing in terms of reaching out to people and all the benefits music education has, which we didn't really have that strongly here, or at least had died. In the 1970s and 80s, music education had diminished so much. We were in a position whereby if we want to keep this alive, we need to do something. But the real turning point was when I started devoting more time to music. And at that time, I was spending a lot of time performing and teaching as well. And we had this conversation with my mother, who said, you know what, Chigs, is what they call me, said, you know, if you go for music, I'm 100% behind you. And that's kind of what released me, because no matter what people said, that your parents spent a lot of money, but if they themselves feel, they would have been, that have released you. I never really got to hear my father's opinion on it, because he died, unfortunately, just before, he died in 2000, so that would actually have been a few months before the music school opened. But his big dream was always to have an orchestra in Uganda, and which is one of the things we're realizing now. But when I was at university, he constantly said to his colleagues, my son's here studying engineering, but he's so busy doing music outside, I don't see him working as an engineer. And these are things I didn't find out until after he had died. I'd like to think that I have had his blessing as well.
On Thursday evenings, Fred has finally realized his father's dream of setting up an orchestra, and he rehearses the Kampala Symphony Orchestra in the largest room in the house. The orchestra is still in its infancy, and from 6 o'clock onwards, people arrive either on foot or brave the Kampala motorcycle taxi system of Boda Bodas. And it's not uncommon to see two people on a motorbike plus a violin or trombone case zooming up the school's driveway. One of the guiding principles of the music school is that no one is turned away if they don't have the money to pay for lessons. At the end of a corridor, I find Shafiq Kowere practicing a Schubert sonata. Shafiq has been learning the piano under Fred and Paul's guidance. He's 22 and only began playing the piano 4 years ago. He's already reached grade 8 in this time. Shafiq's father died when he was 7 years old, so he was brought up in a children's home, which happened to have a brass band, and Shafiq was taught the trumpet there.
I did my grade 3 trumpet. And remember, when you're doing an exam piece, like for the brass instrument, two pieces are accompanied by piano. You have a piano accompaniment. When I was going to play with an accompanist, Samson, I liked the instrument that he was playing. I even didn't know it's the name of the instrument, but I liked it.
So you didn't even know it was called a piano?
Yes. I didn't know. That was my first time to see it. So I told my friends, I have to learn how to play that. But we didn't have access to it. So
I continued with my trumpet and did my grade 7. I got distinction. Around 2008, they donated a keyboard at MD Sata. And I just said, oh, thanks. Glory be to God. This is something that I like. At least it has a clue on the instrument I love. I just sat there, tried to discover myself playing it. And I found out that at least the left hand has to do something and the right hand has to do something. So I combined treble clef brass music and then bass clef brass music together in the same key, and then try to learn those tunes on the keyboard, and it worked out. And that's how I found my way playing the piano.
Now, how did you go from teaching yourself off a trumpet part and a trombone part on a borrowed keyboard in Emily Sada to then passing your grade 8?
Because Emily Sada is an organization, is that an orphanage. I got a chance of playing to different people who came in, different visitors coming in. At that time, I knew what I was doing was right, and I was confident, you know. So when Kampala Music School heard about my playing piano, they donated piano, upright piano at Emily Sada, so that I could teach other kids who are interested. So I just had to work out my pieces and then come at Kampala Music School for lessons, and I go back to Emily Sada for practice like that. I used Paul first to teach me. We started with grade 4, just playing through it up to grade 7. And then I went to Fred also. I told him, you know what, I'm doing grade 8 this year, so can you help me pass it? I just really want to pass it. And he said, it's okay. Then he gave me the required pieces to work upon, and then I played them.
Join me in a couple of minutes for part 2 of Notes from Kampala, when I'll be meeting the singing quartet, Sauti ya Afrika.
The BBC World Service.
We have the headlines.
You're listening to the BBC World Service. Hello, I'm Razia Iqbal with NewsHour.
But we go further.
We delivered the baby under the most basic circumstance. We didn't have any instruments with us.
Telling it how it is.
We came under direct fire from the enemy between 2 and 3 times a day for about 3 months. And also, we experienced multiple...
Giving people a voice.
We must speak up for our right. If we are killed, if we lose our life, it does not matter. Education is more important than our lives. And the peace in Swat is more important.
Looking to the future.
I love diving. I expect to continue as long as I breathe. Hey, I can always get in a submarine.
We don't just report the story. We live the story. Here on the BBC World Service. The world's radio station.
Coming up next on BBC World Service, part 2 of Notes from Kampala. I'm Sarah Taylor, and I'll be telling you about one of the most exciting singing groups to emerge from Uganda in recent years, Sauti ya Afrika. And who is the man they call the jazz guy of Kampala? That's the second part of Notes from Kampala in a couple of minutes. But first, a summary of the news.
BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. Nelson Mandela is beginning the last stage of his journey to his final resting place. A plane carrying his coffin is about to take off from an Air Force base near the South African capital Pretoria, heading for the Eastern Cape. Mr. Mandela will be buried in his childhood village of Kunu tomorrow. In line with tribal custom, Nelson Mandela's grandson Mandla is accompanying him on the journey, telling him he is on his way home to rest. China is preparing to land a spacecraft on the moon in the latest stage of its ambitious space program. The last lunar landing was nearly 40 years ago. If the mission is successful, China will become only the third country after the United States and the Soviet Union to send a craft to land on and explore the moon. Iran says it has successfully sent a monkey into space for the second time as part of a program aimed at manned spaceflight. President Hassan Rouhani said that the monkey returned from space in perfect health. The United States says one of its warships was forced to take evasive action to avoid a collision with a Chinese naval vessel in the South China Sea. According to the Americans, the Chinese ship crossed in front of the USS Cowpens, a guided missile cruiser, in international waters and came to a halt. A car bomb has exploded in the town of Kidal in northern Mali. Several United Nations peacekeepers are reported to have been killed or wounded. Eyewitnesses said the blast hit a bank guarded by the peacekeepers and set fire to a UN armoured vehicle. Tens of thousands of people in Colombia have been protesting in support of the mayor of Bogotá, Gustavo Petro, who was sacked this week by the country's top prosecutor. Mr. Petro was also banned from holding public office for 15 years over alleged mismanagement. Mr. Petro, a national left-wing figure and former rebel, said he'd been the victim of a right-wing coup. BBC News.
Hello, I'm Sarah Taylor, and welcome back to Notes from Kampala. I've come to Uganda to hear more about the pupils and staff here at Kampala Music School. Francis Mutisasira is head of voice studies here, and also a member of the school barbershop quartet Sauti ya Africa. I've sneaked into their practice room to listen to one of their rehearsals.
We're all classically trained singers, and we started off doing solos and different operas, Magic Flute, Marriage of Figaro, and so on. So after a while, we decided to form a group just casually to have music together. Right now, things have changed a bit because we do quite a lot of entertainment on weddings and corporate functions. So these days we do mostly pop operatic singing.
Had so many like engagements in the past year and they're still coming.
We usually put on suits, different colors, black, gray, maroon, just smartly dressed. People join choirs here. Yeah, the culture of singing in choirs and churches is quite big. So that's why singing is good for everyone. We all do intend to stay together and we've put aside a schedule that works for the four of us, 4 days a week of rehearsal, 3 hours each day, which is quite good for us.
Have lots of potential that could take us further and further. I would love to perform to a bigger audience and to people who love music more than I do.
Would that be possible? The way you guys perform, I don't think anybody could love music more than you.
Was already, I've performed in front of the President, His Excellency President of Uganda.
I would like to perform in so many places. The Greek Arena. I would love to perform at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Basically, perform as much as possible and travel around the world as much as possible.
Sky's the limit for me, and we all agree as far as that is concerned. Real stages that hold thousands of people, like, you know, present your music to these people. Born in quite a musical family. I remember when I was a boy, little boy, my father played with the choir on his keyboard. And I remember my mother, may God rest in peace, singing all the time. I think that's how I inherited the singing and the music in me. I sang in church for a long time.
George Samaganda is the newest member of Sauti Africa and a former pupil of singing teacher Francis.
After joining the music school from a choir, I learned to read music. So from then I could learn new songs as well from my skill of reading music and many songs.
George is also a member of the local band Baksimba Waves, who play weekly at some of the hotels in Kampala.
Learning to read music is indeed a great skill. It has helped me to learn many songs because I find songs, new songs, I learn them on my own, then meet the band, we rehearse, and we have a new thing on every gig. And that's a great thing. Here is a CD I've made with demo songs of my own lyric, the music. The very last song, the fourth song, is about HIV. Because I have a big story, what HIV has caused to me. So I've been listening, I've been watching, and I have people close to me who are affected by HIV/AIDS. So the message to the people is to be faithful. Nganao yalika obera wa mukiso kujikozesa gwenu simatuka tojesiga. I've lost two brothers, elder brothers, and a sister to HIV/AIDS, and about three nephews, and I have two nephews and a niece who are partly under my care because they have lost their parents. It's really a big thing. And in this song, I want to really cause some change to fight HIV, because if I don't do it, I don't see it, because around, I could take a whole year without hearing any song on radio, playing any song about HIV control. Later in future, I hope to have a campaign with other musicians to cause changes like that with HIV using my music.
My name is Chris Weigers. I'm a bass player and I'm involved with KMS as the head of the jazz program. As the school is primarily classical music, I came here about 4 years ago doing volunteer teaching, and that became my niche, being kind of the jazz guy in Kampala. I came here to Uganda for about 2 months, and when I was introduced to KMS and I started teaching students jazz, they asked me if I could stay on for a few more weeks, and they turned their 9th anniversary concert into a jazz program. So my 2 months turned into just about 4 months. And after being here 4 months, when I went back to America, I realized I'd rather be in Kampala. So I packed everything up in New York and I came back to Kampala. In the jazz group, there's no family that's pushing anyone to come study jazz. Almost all the students I have here are fully adults. They might be young adults, 19, 20. They're not pushed into it. This is because they have an interest. And many of them who come to my jazz group do not come for private lessons because they don't have any money. For them, it's a challenge to get the money for transport to get here. And so, you know, again, they appreciate the opportunity to come and learn what we can.
I'm Grace Cheyune, the accountant of Kampala Music School, but I also play the violin in the orchestra and the jazz band. I wanted to learn the violin because the people who used to play on TV looked so gracious, and it just seemed, it intrigued me to want to learn it. So I made sure that I learn it. Many of the students here, some have musical background, some don't, but they had this dream of being able to do something musical. Most of what was brought here were, in the beginning, it was mainly piano, but people have been introduced to so many other instruments, which has been a very good thing. People have been able to learn music in a different way and at a different level.
When I do the jazz group, it's about 80% just playing and maybe 20% teaching. There's so many ways to learn. And I teach what I know. And if it was someone else in my shoes, they would be teaching differently, sometimes quite differently. And I try to point that out to everyone. And my goal is to have Uganda develop its own jazz style based on the culture that everyone comes from here.
Well, Chris is a very good man. And I think most of us are in the jazz band because of Chris. That's the truth. And he has helped us a lot because we are getting a free service. And yet we learn a lot. He has put in a lot of time to teach us. There's so many things we learn. He's called the best Mzungu. Mzungu is a white person.
At the core, it's music is more of an excuse to connect with people. It's hard to walk up to someone who you've never met and say, tell me about your life. But if you get into a conversation about music and you're able to connect through music, everything else follows. So that's the beauty of music here in Kampala. It's a beautiful way to meet other people and feel that connection.
The jazz group is free to join. But one of the challenges for its members is getting hold of a decent instrument. Saxophones and electric guitars are luxuries here. I noticed that there were 4 bass guitar musicians, but they were each patiently waiting to take their turn to play the one available bass, as the cost of instruments is out of the reach of most Ugandan people, as guitarist Lawrence told me.
We very few can actually afford an instrument to play. Quite a number of people want to play. If you live in a country like Uganda, these instruments are not made locally. They have to get imported from elsewhere, so it's really difficult.
A while ago, about 4 months, there was a post on Facebook. In the United States of America, people gathered pianos in heaps and put them on fire, and they were destroyed. But here, if everyone would have a piano at home, would be perhaps the greatest musicians.
Quite a number of people don't even begin to actually learn an instrument because
it is inconceivable to get even close to one instrument. Yeah, so it is really important, if it is possible, to provide instruments to people who are eager to learn. That would be very, very important to help the next generation of musicians in this country.
I remember going back after my first visit to Uganda and reading a story, an interview with some musician. And he's talking about how his family was dirt poor in America. We had nothing, we're so poor. And my uncle, he gave me this saxophone when I was 11. And we had a piano in the house, so I played. And I'm reading this going, this is a dirt poor kid in America. He had a piano, yeah. And his uncle gave him a saxophone when he's 11. That's rich in Uganda. That's a rich family in Uganda. So it's all relative. So someone has the opportunity to have a piano in the house, they're lucky. And if somebody gets their hands on an instrument, they usually take really good care of it. And then repair is a whole nother thing. Finding someone to repair an instrument when there's a problem, that's a big problem.
This song is written and performed by Charles Awani, the tenor voice in the singing quartet you heard earlier, Sauti Africa. And he was also playing the flute just now in Chris's jazz band.
And I love music. It's my passion, you know.
Charles is a regular in the practice rooms here, but the school also values him for his skills as a carpenter.
I do repair string instruments. They really actually spotted that talent in me, said, you can do, because it's still woodwork. You can apply the skills you have. About 3 years ago, a gentleman was sent to give me more skills on how to repair the string instruments, because we don't have one around, and KMS need someone who is around to help KMS to do the repairing.
I've heard that you're an absolutely wonderful carpenter and you make the most wonderful dolls' houses.
I did carpentry. I went to school at Don Bosco Vocational Institute. I did a course of 2 years and came up with a certificate, and I joined one of the big renowned construction company. So I worked with them for 4 years, almost 4.5 years. So when I left, I decided to start doing my own work and to earn a living.
With your skills though, I'm wondering, do you think you could make violins?
If I have a chance to learn how to make them, I would love to learn how to make violins and guitars, because apparently I did the experiment to make a bass guitar, and it's amazing.
Did you actually make a bass guitar?
Yeah, I did. I made one. I'm proud of it. Not yet complete, but it's really a good craft work.
My main enthusiasm grew when we started singing Christmas carols. I noticed that the very beautiful music that you could find in those songs. And my question was, when I asked about the people who wrote this music, they told me it's been a long time since they've been dead. I was really encouraged, and I thought to myself, they are dead, but their music still goes on. So meaning that some are alive, since we get to sing their music again and again. So that inspired me.
Like so many of the musicians here, Job Ivan Tezikatwa was introduced to formal music training through attending church. Job was one of the choristers who wanted to learn the piano, and he went on to have piano lessons with Fiona Carr, the founder of Kampala Music School, before she retired.
There were opportunities of people who would really want to study with her. That's when my golden chance came in.
Job went on to study music at university. And alongside his role as a music teacher at one of the most prestigious international schools in Uganda, he's also director of music and an organist at St. Paul's Cathedral in Kampala, and a composer. He has secured a place on a postgraduate composition course at Cardiff University in Wales, but is awaiting funding.
I want to use my African background, music background,
to incorporate what I've learned and then create an identity for me as a composer.
One of your pieces has recently had a world premiere. Can you tell me about that?
First and foremost, it was commissioned from a conductor in the UK who was going to conduct the orchestra at the Kampala Music School fundraising concert. He sent me a list of instruments that he wanted me to work with, but he needed something Ugandan that had that Ugandan feel. So I sat down and there were some ideas going on in my mind, so I had to create the Galaxy. It's actually called the Galaxy.
Is it possible to hear a bit?
Yes, I'll try and reduce the score. It opens up with two horns playing a very simple melody. Just stillness. Then you hear a very nice melody coming in. There's a bit of pentatonicism there, which is close to what we're doing here. Then that's like the introduction for this. Then it picks up a very, very interesting rhythmic character, which is in almost a dance form. Then there's a very interesting section.
How did that feel when you heard your piece premiered?
It really felt wonderful. I was happy about myself because it was like listening to yourself speak to a certain group of people.
And did you get any feedback from the premiere in Britain when it was played? What messages did you get?
One was it's a very, very broad piece in terms of thought, but they found my rhythms really, really too complex. That's true. Much of the rhythms, they were wondering, actually, what I got, they did not play it to the speed, up to speed that I was. I cannot blame them because to me, they come naturally. I find these rhythms as part of me. But then even here, when we're playing it, people used to find it really quite tasking to think about these rhythms.
As the years went by, time went by, obviously I began to pick up also interest in the organ.
Paul Lugia is head of keyboards at KMS and also the organist at Namurembe Cathedral, where he was first introduced to the piano and organ years ago as a young chorister.
Although it may seem like a piano, but it has its own slightly unique kind of sound, and I was really captivated by the range of sounds and colors and the various combinations and basically the sound and how it sounds like in a big building like a cathedral.
One of the cathedral highlights of the year is their service of 9 lessons and carols sung in Lugandan. Paul is the organist, and his longtime friend and colleague Francis Mutisasira, head of voice at the music school, member of Sayuti Africa, is also the cathedral choral director.
We start off with an organ performance by Paul Lugia for about 1 hour 45 minutes, and then we start the carol service, which goes for strictly 1 hour. And usually start with once in Royal David's City. In Luganda, it is Muchibuga cha Daudi. Yeah. In David's City. And this is what it sounds like in Luganda. Muchibuga cha Daudi mwalimu echiraro.
It said to him that I thought within 3 or 4 years we'd have people queuing for a seat, and that is exactly what has happened.
Fiona Carr, founder of Kampala Music School.
And it is the most moving service. The choir comes in from the back holding candles with the Once in Royal, as they do in King's College, Cambridge, I understand. The boy who's going to sing the first verse of Once in Royal is not told until the last minute, and they do the same thing there. And it has become a very, very special feature of Kampala. It's now on the national television in Uganda.
I'm proud of being part of the change makers, because music in the past, we never used to, you know, value reading music. And in the past, people used to treat music as something for people who have failed in life. It has become a trend. Now everyone wants to associate with music. What does your son do? My son plays the violin. Oh, wow. Mine plays the piano. Like, hey, what does your son do? If your son does nothing or your daughter does nothing, they're like, oh, okay. What are you doing? You're spoiling the kid's future.
I just walk the route that I do every morning to the music school along the road, which is extremely dusty. It's been the most amazing week here. I've only been able to tell you some of the stories. Every practice room door that I've opened, there's just been an exceptional talent. Sometimes a story which is incredible to believe. And one of the things I'll take away with me is the passion for music here. And to be quite honest, some of these pianos, they're not the best pianos. Quite a lot have got broken pedals, they're battered. But the point is they are loved. They are loved by the pupils who come here. Many of them make great efforts sometimes to come and practice. This place all started years ago because Fiona Carr went to Namarembe Cathedral and heard the boys singing. And she just knew that there was something special and something more.
Generation coming up of equally musical people needing to be trained musically. I think it has an enormous future. I don't see there's any way back now. There's no way of saying that this is not needed. It's only going to become more needed as time goes on and grow.
As Chris said, you know, music really is an international language.
Kampala Music School to me has become a home, and as a performer, as a singer, as a student, lots of great experiences I've achieved here.
George Samaganda.
I came here without the knowledge of reading and writing, I mean music. But with time, with the help of my teacher, Francis, I developed my reading skills, and now I read to myself, for myself, and can write for myself as well, can interpret. And I use it wherever I go, because I work with many people who have not had a chance, people in the local circles of music, people I could meet on jam sessions, people I meet in the pubs where I go, and they're really interested in music. So I share with them, but I got it here. Many people have now realize that they need to come here and learn the way I did. Once you have found
home, you've been listening to Notes from Kampala, which was presented and produced by Sarah Taylor.